they end up like 100% in their heart desiring to become Catholic. And I think that's a huge testament to the mission too, because they're attracted to what is basically the root of the operation, which is faith in Jesus Christ and the Catholic tradition.
Welcome to Frontiers of Faith, a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies. I am Katie Ruvalcaba, and ladies and gents, I need you to meet the person who once cooked a 7-course meal using only the heat of his intense concentration, the culinary genius and miracle worker, Father Anthony Andreozzi.
Thank you. A few things were burned that day, but overall it was a successful meal. Thank you, Katie.
You've got to concentrate less hard in general. We are joined today by the lovely and talented John Young from Franciscan Works. Say hi, John.
Good morning, Katie and Father Anthony, and to all the listeners out there.
Have you ever cooked a meal with your intense concentration?
No, I haven't learned that skill yet.
Well, it's I think it might be one of those that only Father Anthony ever masters truly. But we're so delighted that you are with us today. You actually, somebody in your office reached out to us and was like, you have got to talk to John. He is one of the most passionate people about mission in the whole world. And I read your bio over at franciscanworks.org. And the way that you refer to Liberia as your home is impressive. So tell us about Franciscan Works and what you're doing in the Liberia mission.
Okay, well, thank you for this opportunity. Franciscan Works is a small but mighty Catholic nonprofit that for over 20 years has been supporting Liberia Mission, which is a community of love and learning in Liberia, West Africa. And basically, as the ashes of a brutal 14-year civil war was settling in Liberia, Franciscan Works, a group of grassroots Catholics in America, had this intense desire to go and serve that country as it was rebuilding. And in fact, the war ended in October of 2003, and Franciscan Works entered in November of 2003 at the very beginning. So not even a month after this civil war had officially ended. And Liberia was a shining star on the African continent for over 150 years, but this civil war just completely destroyed its infrastructure, its institutions, healthcare system, education system. Everything was just decimated by this infighting and a stop-start war and just dictator, warlord, all that. And so as the ashes were settling from that war, Franciscan Works went to welcome, start Liberia Mission to welcome children that were orphans, you know, created by the conflict that had lost their parents. And what started as a handful, you know, 4 or 5 orphans in a rented compound, now today is a beautiful 25-acre compound with several ministries. We have our chapel, St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Chapel. We have St. Anthony of Padua Catholic School, which has pre-K through 9th grade education. And this year we are trying to elevate it to the high school level. We have St. Martin de Porres Boys Home, St. Josephine Bakita Girls Home, and this is for our residential students. And we have St. Isidore Farm and Piggery, which is our agricultural training program, where we teach the students valuable work skills, how to farm, animal husbandry, farm to market skills, and, you know, generally how to work so that when they exit the program, they'll have the skills to find a job, they'll have the faith, the education to become leaders for their society and help Liberia rebuild, grow, and become a shining star again.
Yeah, I was a little scared you were going to leave off St. Isidore's when you were listing off your things because it went last. It was my favorite thing I saw on your website. I've never heard the term piggery before, but as soon as I saw the videos of all the little piggies, I was like, that is a piggery. It is.
Yeah, I never heard it before either.
I guess it makes sense, but it kind of like stood in contrast to the word nunnery in my head. So it's like, where these pigs get sent when they don't find husbands in time. I was looking at the things on your website and the way that the children discuss their time with Liberia Mission, and they're at least from what you guys have put out there, they seem overwhelmingly touched by the work, basically. They're also delighted by the mission and the church. Like one kid says, we learn about God to go to church. We learn about school in school, or we have education for school, and we learn about work. And then he goes into detail about how much he's learning with the farming and the animals and things like that. What do you think is really what reaches out to kids or the people that you're teaching when it comes to that?
Well, you know, Liberia Mission is like an oasis of peace and faith and love and just a very difficult society. And I think what Liberia Mission offers, I mean, it's in our tagline. It's a loving home, a Catholic education, and life skills training for the poorest of the poor. But the loving home part is, I think, the most important, because it's from there that all things flow. And also Liberia Mission, its own motto, and in Liberia, mottos and like acronyms and things, they're very important. It helps people remember things. And the Liberia Mission's motto, it doesn't even have any commas over there. I mean, sometimes people hear it's God, education, work. And we say God comes first. So these are the lessons that the kids are learning. And I think they just love being in this safe, loving community, and it's everything is taught with love. They're cared for, and from there, you know, they get their education. They have these work skills that they're learning. Everything is interesting, so it's just a very full life, and it's something that is not easily accessible outside the walls of the mission. And we also welcome community members from the local community to come and worship at our chapel. The school is open to the whole community. So it's not this closed in thing either. It's very much open. Of course, for our residential program, it's not a boarding school. It's trying to get like the poorest of the poor, which are children that have nobody, which is actually not that easy to find in Liberian society. It's a society where family members or extended family members will take in children, maybe if they've lost their parents. But there are those cases, and we try to bring those in. But it's a very much an open, let's just say, mission to its local community, to the country, to the church, the Archdiocese of Monrovia, the Catholic Church at large. And so it's just this very much like loving community that they feel a lot of joy in. And so, you know, buckling down for school or working on the farm isn't hard, because at first they know that they're in a place where they're cared for, the meals are there, the safe environment is there, and they just feel at home. And I think that's why they love everything else, because they know that there is this good intention rooted in Jesus Christ and in faith that is guiding everything. And, you know, that's what's most amazing. I'll just wrap up the answer to this question saying that we welcome children of all faiths or wherever they come from. That's not, you know, it's not restricted to just like Catholic. When you're welcoming orphans, you're not just welcoming Catholic orphans. They may not even know what family they were born into, but the children there, from what the older brothers and sisters from the community around them, they end up like 100% in their heart desiring to become Catholic. And I think that's a huge testament to the mission too, because they're attracted to what is basically the root of the operation, which is faith in Jesus Christ and the Catholic tradition.
Yeah, they'll know you by your love, basically, right? That they come to you, or they come to that belief or that faith system because of the love that they've been shown. I was really leaning heavily into how much the farm situation means to the kids, because I saw that you had a terrible storm that impacted your piggery last spring. How is that going?
Well, excuse me, it's not the first one, but
probably won't be the last.
You know, Liberia is two seasons, rainy season, dry season. And there's this interesting thing that happens as the seasons change over. It's like as the weather comes in, there will be like wind storms. During the rainy season, it's not like here in New Orleans where, you know, it's torrential thunderstorms. It usually just rains. But at the beginning and end of these seasons, it gets very windy. So as this happened a couple of times, this time was just especially bad, where, the weather is so harsh that the wood, the tin roof, everything ends up rusting or just expanding, contracting. So this year, the wind came through, picked up the tin roof, folded it over on itself, and just completely destroyed a whole section of it. And that was, you know, a tragedy, because also we're Franciscan, so then our animals there are suffering underneath all the mm-hmm. elements and everything, as well as just the whole structure being damaged. But it was kind of amazing because we put this appeal out there, and all of our supporters, maybe known and unknown, just there was this outpouring of support for our piggery, you know, what, you know, you might think is just this simple place. And in a few days, we were able to raise the money necessary to completely repair it. And last month, we sent them the money to fix it. And it's a brand new roof now.
We hear that often from missionaries where they put their faith in Christ or for their financial needs and things like that. And God always shows up in huge ways when it comes to that. Like you said, your supporters, known and unknown, like who would have known that there were people out there super concerned about the piggies and ready to hop in. Mm-hmm. Father Anthony, exactly. Do you have any questions for John?
Yeah, John, I'm just wondering about do you know about the state of the Catholic Church in Liberia? Is it relatively small? Just generally, I think our listeners might be interested in that.
Well, that's an interesting question. The country was founded in 1827, and it was founded by Americans and freed slaves to repatriate freed slaves on the African continent. And at that point, at its inception, plenty of Christian missionaries came over, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, but the Catholic Church actually didn't arrive to the country till the 1910s, so a full like 90 years after it was established, and by the SMA, or the Society of African Missions. And so the Catholic Church is smaller than maybe some of the other Protestant churches, but it's actually quite strong and has a strong base of support, strong faith. There are three dioceses. There's the Archdiocese of Monrovia, the Diocese of Cape Palmas, and the Diocese of Bangui. So three dioceses encompassing the whole country. The country is about the size of Tennessee. And, you know, it's got a strong following, a strong faith. And actually, in May, after a couple years, a few years ago, the Archbishop had retired, and he then passed away. And in May, the Archdiocese of Monrovia received its new Archbishop, which is Archbishop Dr. Gabriel Blamo Jubwe. And so it's a very forward thinking time for the church there. But the Catholic Church is very strong, very well connected. We're Franciscan Works. There are plenty of other missionary organizations there. We help each other out. We all know each other. And I would say that it's growing as well. It's very much growing. It's very much respected. It operates some of the best hospitals and schools in the country. It's just highly respected. People that aren't Catholic will get heavily involved in like helping the Catholic Church. They are doing it because they know that the church is essential for the country moving forward. So it's smaller maybe than the others, but it's mighty, it's strong, and it's growing.
John, what's something that you think that our listeners need to know about the work that you're doing in Liberia and what Franciscan Works is working on?
Well, I would just like to say that I think that particularly Americans and the American listeners should take a special interest in Liberia because it's directly connected to our own history. And it's something that came from our country, although not technically a colony. It was an endeavor that was created out of an American spirit. And it created a beautiful country that's had some difficulties. And I think just in the Christian tradition, it's had some difficulties. And I think it's on us as, you know, American Christians, Catholics, to want to help them get back up and help them reestablish themselves. So that's kind of my message to all, that, hey, we need to take interest in this country. It's like our little brother. In fact, the people over there look at us as bigger brothers and sisters, and they call Liberia small America. And the biggest disconnect that I see is that everybody over there has this intense love for America. But sometimes when I share my story over here, plenty of people don't even know where Liberia is. They don't even know, you know, and a lot of times they get it mixed up with Libya. And they're like, oh, you're going to Libya? And I'm like, no, I'm going to Liberia. And so there's just this intense historical connection. It's also, this is very important, it's a bulwark of Christianity, you know, in a region that I think is important for keeping the Christian faith and establishing it and growing it. It's 85% Christian, which is very much like not congruent with how the region is growing, you know. And so it's definitely important for the propagation of the faith and for, you know, as a bulwark to stand up and spread throughout the world. So Liberia Mission is just a small drop in this bucket. Like you said about the numbers before, you know, I can't say like thousands and tens of thousands, but I know individuals that have been changed by the work that we're doing. I know like that they've created families, they've been baptized Catholic, they've had Catholic weddings, they're trying to have strong families. And, you know, war is something that destroys the family. It disconnects people, it creates orphans. And, you know, just that, taking the orphans from the war and teaching about the value of a family, the value of an education, the value of work skills, and taking individuals that might have otherwise gone a totally different path and maybe into delinquency and giving them an opportunity for the future. The numbers might not be there, but like the mission is there, and it's Christ-centered. It's what Christ would do. And we're just proud to be doing, you know, even just a little bit of that.
Wow. Well, that leads us very nicely into the gospel that we are reading for this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are hopping out of Mark and over to John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who has come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountains alone. John, what stands out to you in this gospel reading?
Well, my mind wants to go in 1,000 different directions. I mean, this is a perfect gospel for missionary work. You know, the feeding of the 5,000. Missionary work, many times, I mean, there's just many ways to do it, but many times going into a foreign country and trying to do something with a little, trying to do a lot with a little. And I love how it says Jesus said this to test them, because I feel like there are so many of those instances in mission where you're put to the test. Your faith is put to the test. Your faith in God's divine providence is put to the test. And God always provides. You know, there have just been so many instances in mission where you don't have what you need at one time, and you have to fall back to the faith, to the prayer, and then you'll eventually in time, but God might put you through a test. It might not be immediately. You get what you need. And, you know, it made me reflect. There's a point where that we're at, Franciscan Works, and I don't want to get into like the nuts and bolts of this too much, but it does relate to this gospel where we're trying to contemplate this sponsorship increase that we've never done before. We've never done it before, and we feel like it's just the time to do it. But the point is, reflecting on the past 20 plus years that we've never done it, it's like, how did we ever make it before? How did we ever do it, like, with the resources that we had? And although we feel like God is calling us to do this at this time, there's a beautiful realization that we've had that, you know, he's multiplied things throughout the past 20 years. And yeah, we feel like he's directing us now, but there's something to be said for what's been able to transpire about, you know, doing so much with so little. And that'll never go away. We can always appreciate that, and we can always give him glory for that. So, you know, we feel that, I mean, you know, the thing about Liberia is there is this brutal civil war, but in 2014, 10 years later, there's the Ebola epidemic. And the Ebola epidemic was another huge catastrophe that knocked the country down as it was getting back up from this war. But yet God provided, and, you know, things carried on, and there's been other difficulties, obviously, in the past, you know, several years with the pandemic. You know, even like the war in Ukraine has a huge effect on a country like Liberia for supply chains. And it's just things that we don't like actually feel maybe in our country, or maybe feel to a lesser degree. But in the developing world, these kind of conflicts have a huge thing. So there's all these things going on. But through it all, God provides. And honestly, like I said, we're just contemplating this change. But even before that, the mission has been like increasing, so like trending upwards so well. We've been expanding. We've gotten so much providence to, you know, have a new water tower, to change like the wiring, to go to high school. And, you know, through it all, God has just been providing. I mean, he's been multiplying so like the little that we have so much in the past. I mean, the past 20 years, but even just the past several years, it's been amazing.
Yeah. I know you said you didn't want to talk about it too much, but I'm going to talk about it for you, because I'm looking on your website at your sponsorship options, and you have like the kids there on the page that we can know who it is that we're sponsoring. But I think when people think about sponsoring the education, the maintenance, the medical expenses of a child, they're thinking in very American terms about how much that's going to cost them. And like, your highest tier of support here is $160. Like, my electric bill is higher than that in the summertime. And that $160 gets multiplied by our Lord to education for these kids, to housing, medical expenses, and their food. Like, that is the maintenance of that child completely for, I mean, not completely, but monetarily. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And so, you know, I guess I didn't say this before also, but I actually just got back from Liberia in January. I was there at the mission for, you know, 5+ years and director for like the last 4. So yeah, you know, I'm trying to speak from experience here. It's difficult, but you can do a lot with a little, and it's, you know, sometimes you feel like you can't carry on, but that's why God comes first. You know, this God education work, because we tell our children, you know, one day you will leave, and if you know, the most important thing is your faith in God, because you're going to encounter all kind of difficulties. The job might not come right away, you know, your education might not render the reward right away, but if you have that foundation in God, you're going to be able to overcome, you know, the test that he gives you, because you put your faith in him, and then you're going to have a beautiful life because God loves you and he wants you to be happy.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage all of our listeners to go check out franciscanworks.com. Check out their sponsorship of children, because I do think that this is something where this gospel was uniquely placed in John's episode. We had like a weird scheduling situation so that John ended up doing a gospel that was different than what he would have normally been doing, and this just feels like, you know, this is where God needs people to hear his message. So definitely check that out. Father Anthony, do you have any closing words for us before we go?
I really appreciate this conversation from John, only learning about, you know, kind of the complicated history of a country that the U.S. has a complicated history of, but also how despite so much sadness and injustice and death and servitude, slavery, the faith and the light of the gospel is not only alive, but it's growing in Liberia. So because of the generous hearts of friends of John's and so many others. So thank you, John.
Thank you for joining us this week, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Frontiers of Faith is a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies, produced by Katie Ruvalcaba. Theme music by Ethan Stevie. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @faith_frontiers and at Frontiers of Faith on Facebook and Instagram. To support the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies, please go to onefamilyinmission.org to donate.